So through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. So the word which jumped out to me today when I was reading these readings that we have is faith. They're all about our faith. It's a great big word, small in stature, but very big in our lives, our faith and our relationship with God. And it reminded me of a fact that I'd heard about the Impala deer, that although they can leap to a height of over 10 feet, they can be kept in an enclosure at a zoo or a reserve by a fence of no more than 3 feet high. And why? Because they will not jump unless they can see the place that they will land. They can't see over the fence, so they will not jump. They are limited not by their physical ability, but fear. Fear of the unknown. Caution about what might be. It might be seen as being sensible, as the correct way to be. But how amazing that this observation of this animal has led to human beings being able to simply contain them. I wonder how this compares to our lives, how we are limited by boundaries around us, maybe put on ourselves through caution or imposed by others. Does our lack of faith in God limit us? We can question ourselves about this. If we feel called to do something, do we allow limits to be put on us by our own thoughts, by our concerns, or indeed by others' thoughts and concerns? I remember preaching about this during my curacy. This wonderful analogy about how our lack of faith can hold us back in life, and you can link it with these deer who are kept in this reserve when they can easily leap free. I wonder if we feel that in our faith journey, in our relationship with God. We may feel prompted by God to try things. We may feel God is calling us to do things in our church or personally, but it just seems too risky to take the leap of faith. We think there's no way I can do that. No way that we can do that. In our first reading today about Abraham, well, Abraham, he obviously had a very direct link with the word of God. And we can rationalize maybe that if we knew for sure that God had spoken to us, we would take that leap of faith. Or if you met with Jesus when he walked this earth as a human being alongside us, the Son of God here on earth, we would have had faith, of course. But let us remember that many of those who met Jesus on earth were still unsure of who he really was. But their faith, maybe small as a mustard seed, was enough for the miracles to happen. Abraham listened to God, and even though an old man, and Sarah, his wife, beyond childbearing age and had never had a child, Abraham sets off to new lands to become what God has said he will make of Abraham, a great nation with many descendants. And Abraham sets out purely with faith, not with any human strategy for this, but in faith. And in our gospel reading, we had two miracles. We hear of many miracles in the Bible, don't we? But today we hear of a woman who does not ask Jesus for healing, but reaches out to him and touches him. She doesn't even have a dialogue with him. She just knows if she reaches out to him, he will heal. And this faith, that is enough. And she is healed. And the other miracle is of a young girl who, by the time Jesus gets there, indeed, by the time he is asked to go, she has already died. To everyone it will be too late. But to that father who came to him, he asked Jesus to go. And Jesus enters in and restores not her house alone, but the faith of those around is restored and elevated. Our answers to prayers, to our faith, our hope and trust in God is not for us to second guess, but to, well, have faith that God will do what is right, what is best for us. I do wonder if Jesus had arrived earlier at the girl, or had been asked to go earlier before she'd actually died, that the people would just think, well, she was going to get better anyway. That maybe, you know, it was just good luck that he managed to bring her back and to make her renewed in her health. Well, I was listening the other day to the radio. I often say I listen to the Christian radio station the other day, and the girl was saying that she had suffered for many, many years with a debilitating illness. And she was a devout Christian, and she would pray for help, for healing with this illness. But she said she was glad that the healing did not come straight away. And in fact, it hasn't completely resolved her health issues. Because she said her devotion to God in calling to him daily and the prayers of others around her, her faith was deepened. And others' faith was deepened too when the healing came, as much as it did. And their relationship and this community of closeness that they'd all developed. And healing is not just physical. And that this is what is shown in our readings today. It isn't just about the healing of the physical body. Faith leads us to healing, to new developments in our life, to new starts, new ventures. Jesus takes time out to share a meal in our gospel reading, calling to a tax collector to the meal. In fact, it says many tax collectors and sinners joined them and the disciples. And the Pharisees questioned Jesus' disciples about this behavior of Jesus, of Jesus eating with such lowly folk in society. And Jesus overhears them. And he says to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So we have two big things here. Jesus is quoting from scripture, from the book of Hosea, when he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's from the old scriptures of the Jewish faith. God wants us to have compassionate hearts and show mercy to those around us. And God is saying, Hosea is saying this, and Jesus is quoting him, that there is more value in showing compassion to those around us and mercy than there is to our religious rituals and observations. Jesus has come to show this, that he has come to save folk. And the other big thing is that those sinners, those tax collectors, what faith they showed. How brave they must have been to come and join a table of respected do-gooders. I wonder how many sinners feel they are not worthy for God's love or to mix with the so-called righteous. I wonder how many of us look back at our lives or back at our current lives and think, I'm not really worthy. I know I do when I look back and think of my life. And I remind myself that I am where I am now with God's love and mercy that he has shown me. I don't know if any of you have ever had to go and say, sorry for something that you have been doing or that you did in the past, and you know it's going to come back and haunt you and bite you one day. It's scary. It takes a lot of courage to go and say, I'm sorry, particularly if the person doesn't even know it ever happened. A lot of faith that you will not get into further trouble or get put down for your offering, for your asking for forgiveness. Jesus said he's come for those who are sick, in need of physical and emotional healing. And we can all do with this. So there's a lot going on in our readings today about faith. So what about us today as we sit here? Well, we can think maybe, how can we take that leap of faith? Now and again anyway. We don't want to go too crazy. We want to take a few leaps of faith in our life. Each of our parishes across the benefice are looking at various ventures. Here in Westbury, tomorrow we're actually meeting with the architect to think about putting in water, a toilet, a little kitchen area. My goodness, what a leap of faith that is to be pressing forward. But that's the thing, it's not just us as a church, it's the community. And more importantly, it's God who's going to be involved in this venture. At Terwestern, I was this morning, we're looking at upgrading the heating system there. And also trying to get more folks along to the services. And I was so pleased this morning. I went along thinking there might be one other person because I know the organist couldn't come. And sometimes there's just three of us there. And that's, we need three for us to have a Holy Communion service. The organist wasn't coming, so I thought, I bet it would just be me and this other person. We'll have to have morning worship instead, which is wonderful, but not our Holy Communion service. But nine people turned up. I mean, how amazing is that? We have to have faith that God is involved in our equations in life. So as well as all the individual things we might be thinking about as we sit here, what is happening in our own lives, in our loved ones' lives, do we have faith in this, that God will be actually working with us? Do we ask God for his help? Do we look around the world and think, well, it's just crazy? There's just too much going on with all the wars, with the crime on our own streets, with Ebola, with all these different things. Let's have faith that God will intervene. He can sort it out, and he will. I didn't read the third reading today that we can have in our services. It was a letter from Paul to the Romans. But I will quote one verse from another letter that Paul wrote to Timothy because I think it's really relevant. And in that letter, Paul is coming towards the end of his life. He's in prison. And he writes to Timothy and he says, it's in Timothy 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So we've not come to the end of our race. We've still got our way to go. And we are still fighting this good fight, I hope. Are we keeping that faith? Let us pray this day for this sentiment that we will continue the good fight. Against the odds, maybe, and that we will keep the faith. We're not finished yet. Let us pray for the endurance and grace that God's great love will keep us going.